Hey, welcome back to Laser Graves. I'm introducing today because Eric forgot how to introduce a podcast.
Yeah, everybody believes that.
Hey. My name is Mariah Rose Wimmer, and you are?
A.K. Wimmer, and we are your hosts for Laser Graves. This is a podcast about 80s stuff.
And things.
Lots of things, but they all happened in the 80s. And this episode today happened at the very, very end, 1989.
Oh, just right at the pinched loaf of the
80s. You know what, though? If you're going to end the 80s, end it with something like this.
Oh, right. But we're not ending.
No. Nope.
It made it sound like a conclusion.
Nope. We are beginning our holiday season because we are going to do some Christmas episodes for you. We didn't know if we were going to, but then we tried this one out, and you know what? I think we should dive into a few more Christmas movies.
If this is the caliber that we're going for, then
I'm
yes,
all in.
Dive into that stocking.
This week we are covering Elves. Keep in mind, this movie is called Elves.
Elves.
We'll get back to it. But this is, we do own this on VHS. It's a very pricey tape. I found it with good old, if you go back to our older episodes, you'll remember the story of Sissy and the video store that I cleaned out.
This is a Sissy gem.
This is a Sissy gem. But I don't own basically any of the other good ones on VHS. They're too expensive. So if anybody's feeling generous this holiday season and wants to send Laser Graves something like Christmas Evil or Don't Open Until Christmas.
So you're asking for Christmas presents?
Yep. This is 'tis the season to give to the needy.
That's rude.
No.
But if you were, there's this one. It was like,
oh, don't do it.
What?
You're just going to say Teen Witch.
No. Oh, Teen Witch. But no, also there was a Christmas one about a little boy, Rambo, who protects his grandpa at Christmas time.
Yeah, so why I was saying that wasn't to be needy, I was being funny, because we don't own any other ones on VHS, but we really want to cover them. This is a rare instance where we'll probably stream a couple films because we just don't get them.
Yeah, you're a purist. I don't care.
Yeah, no, you don't care at all.
No.
I do.
Nope.
I want my film to look as bad as possible.
Oh, speaking of which, we watched Prom Night this week.
Dude.
Holy guacamole. It was basically black with little light flashes of Jamie Lee Curtis.
That was one of the worst like renderings of a film on tape I've ever seen in my life.
Although it had a warp to it that made it like Tracers, which was kind of like, woo.
What was funny is it gave it that late 80s, early 90s, like a spirit walk feel, you know, when they did that cheesy effect in like early 90s.
Yeah, like you're on a vision quest.
Yeah, but that wasn't the intent. That was just a bad transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the moral of the story is don't watch Prom Night on a early version of VHS.
Don't you do it.
Well, you can try if you really just want to watch a movie that's all black.
Yeah. Pretty much. Okay. And done.
Okay. Well, there's your announcement for this week.
Your the more you know moment.
Anyway, we will be discussing some Christmas movies, I think, for the next few weeks.
I think so.
And we're going to try and do some deep dives.
Well, I really want to do, you know, Die Hard.
Yeah,
I want to get in on the debate.
On what's the debate?
Whether or not Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Of course it's a Christmas movie.
Everybody argues.
It takes place at Christmas.
But that's the only part of it that's Christmassy.
What makes a Christmas movie Christmas other than it has to take place on Christmas?
I don't know. I definitely am in the same field as you, so maybe we shouldn't take a stance because we're not opposed to each other. We agree.
I think we just solved it right there. So there you go.
Anyway.
You have any thrift store finds this week?
I do. I got a few things. Like, I got some cool wood beads, whatever, boring.
Cool.
I got another globe, dull. And then I found Mr. Romance.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little doll.
Do you have him?
Well, I don't. I would bring him in, but I think he doesn't. His sound won't transfer, but I'll put it on our Instagram stories this week.
Okay.
And I'll get a good rendering, but you press him and he says like bad puns, like if you were a laser you'd be set on stunning. So I bought it. I'm gonna give it as a gift because I don't need it, but I want to force it on somebody else.
Okay, good. Well, that was a good find.
What did you find?
I found, well, we went down to see my mother for Thanksgiving, And we swung into a little place that I had never been in before with some of our friends. Picked up some movies and books, but I found a cassette tape of Tin Machine, David Bowie's side project band. Mm-hmm. So I've never owned a Tin Machine record or tape or anything, so that's a good find.
Yeah, and it was weird, too, because we were in our old high school hometown, and it was at the mall, like the old yeah. mall, where we would had both gone as teenagers, but it's the saddest mall in the world.
It really is. It's where, like, malls go to die.
It is so sad. It's all empty, like, mostly just blocked off storefronts, and it's kind of a monument to the 80s, because you can see where it was in its glory days.
Yeah.
But now, no, it's... Like, there's a JCPenney's on one end that's, for some reason, still in business. Even though we were there on Black Friday, and there was literally, like, 8 people in the store. And then this bookstore that's also spilled out up and down the hallways.
Well, it's run by the library.
Yeah, and there are just books everywhere.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I did like the shop. I got a bunch of cool stuff. But yeah, I found that Tin Machine tape, which was a good find. And then another thing, which isn't... I guess it's technically, it's not thrift store, but it's secondhand, okay. is this week, very rare for our town, there was a pop-up in an art gallery VHS sale. Where,
that was an art gallery?
Yeah, it's a little art gallery. And what happened is a video store closed down, and then they donated their entire stock to this film organization to raise some money for them. And so they put everything they had up on the wall for $1 each. Unfortunately, I was out of town when it opened, and there was some really great tapes I've been looking for a very long time, like Monster Squad and Extro and all these things, $1 each. By the time I rolled into town and swung by, everything was gone. But I did find a copy of a tape that our buddy Ben over at Neon Brainiacs has been going on and on about for a long time. It's in mint condition. I'm going to send it to him right in time for the holidays. Police Academy 5. He's
five.
Very specific on that one.
Okay.
He hasn't found it, but
what
I found it.
What happens in it? I mean, I'm sure
I think
I've
that's Mission to Moscow, isn't it?
I don't know, dude. I haven't seen them in
Everybody
so
Everybody who knows it is going to be like, ugh. Yeah, I don't know. But okay. He really wanted that, and I found that. So I felt like that was a win. I did have one other find I forgot about. I went into a thrift store I've never been into, because I don't know if it's ever really been open before.
Okay.
But I went in there, and I found an old Hit Parader 80s rock magazine.
Oh, right.
And inside was a Wasp poster.
Where is it now?
It's sitting right there, and I'm going to frame it. I just need to buy a frame for it.
So I think you should do, like, a gilded frame.
I think I should, too, with, like, blades on the end in
or
honor
like,
of Blackie Lawless.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say pooties, but whatever.
No, that's not good.
I don't know. It kind of works together.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this week we are discussing elves for our holiday
elves
season.
Elves plural, right?
Elves plural is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Okay. So
let's really bring this home.
Yeah.
Elves also, plural implies more than one elf, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So also maybe this is a rare time to do a disclaimer. If you have not seen this movie, pause it and go on YouTube real quick and look up the trailer for it and watch it so you know what we're about to discuss because this is quality.
This is a good one. This was a rare treat because we've never seen it before.
No, I've never come across it. I've never owned it and I can't afford it. So this was kind of like I got lucky finding this one, you know, for 50 cents or whatever. But otherwise, yeah, we wouldn't have had access to it because none of the video stores ever had this one, I remember.
I never saw it.
We would have definitely watched this.
It's right up our alley. I just am shocked that we didn't see it, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's very Troll 2-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Which, interesting, you know, Troll is... In Troll 2, they keep, you know, it's like a goblin, not a troll.
Yep.
In this, what do they keep calling it? It's not an elf. They keep calling it a troll.
They call it, well, the brother calls it a ninja troll. But I think they also describe it as a goblin.
Okay. Well.
It's because it's so extraordinary that they don't have, like, a common language, which is honestly the most realism that we're going to get in this movie. Because.
Is it? We'll see.
Or maybe this is the realest movie ever made.
I kind of feel like it is. It's probably. Also a really intellectual metaphor on life. We'll let you guys figure out what it's about. We are not going to analyze it on this podcast.
This is a puzzle box, and once you open it, it doesn't stop opening, and your mind's going to be blown.
This is an art house film.
Okay.
So, Elves, 1989, directed by... Okay, before we even get started, I have to point this out. It's directed by Jeffrey Mandel, but in IMDb it says, as Jeff Mandel.
Oh.
Okay, I get when directors go by different names, you should probably say, but they went as this. Going by Jeff instead of Jeffrey, I don't think that's noteworthy enough to put into IMDb, but there you go.
That's the only information that is to be had. Is he a J or a G?
He's a J.
I saw a meme recently that said, it was like a roll call, and it was like, Jeff, like J-E-F-F. Yes. Jeff. G-E-O-F-F. And then it said, yes, Y-E-O-S. Made me laugh really hard.
Well, Jeff Mandel, he has not directed a whole lot, only three movies, but we actually have one of his other movies sitting right over there, and I have been dying to watch it.
What is it?
Because it came in the same lot that Elves did.
What is it?
And we haven't gotten around to it. It's called Cyber Chick. C-H-I-C. It's
oh, is it Cyber Chick or Cyber Chic?
To be determined. We'll have to watch it.
Oh.
Okay.
I hope it's chic.
I hope it is, too. Well, before this film even starts, we get a really great trailer.
Oh, the trailers. Yes.
I want this film so bad. I've never seen this one either. Same distribution company. A controversial film starring Eric Estrada called Alien Seed. And oh, shit.
We got to watch
this.
This
is full Laser Graves.
Oh, there's a scene in this preview. Like, go watch it on YouTube or whatever. But Eric Estrada shoots a woman in the head and she falls over. And as the fake blood is trailing into her eyes, that her eyes are kind of flickering to keep the blood from going into her eyes.
This, the trailer was everything right about a trailer. So yes. It immediately made me want to watch this movie.
I want to watch it again and again.
So we promise you we will hunt down a copy of Alien Seed eventually.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, this movie, Elves, opens up with some really classy music. There's a lot of clarinet.
You can't go wrong with clarinet.
It's composed by Vladimir Koronozki or something like that. I don't know.
Vladimir. That's a name.
Needless to say, he likes clarinet in this opening scene.
Hey, when you were a goth, did you want to change your name to Vladimir at any point ever?
Never.
Ugh.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Nah.
That's too cool for that.
What would you have gone with? What would your goth name be? Don't say dragon.
Point Dexter.
Point Dexter?
No. Point Dexter.
Oh, no. That's not goth. That's jerky.
That was intellectual goth.
No. Okay, whatever. Let's get into Elves.
This was filmed in Colorado Springs.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
You know what else was filmed in Colorado Springs?
What?
Alien Seed with Eric Estrada.
I wonder if they were filming simultaneously.
I think they were. So it starts with a coven of sisters, the sisters of Anti-Christmas.
Well, they're not actually sisters. So there are three 80s babes.
Yeah, well.
Kirsten, Brooke, and Amy. They walk into the woods like they don't know where they're going because they definitely don't. They have called themselves the Sisters of Anti-Christmas. And when I say they, it's really Kirsten and the other two girls are like classic 80s bimbos.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have an opinion.
One of them's so cool. Like, she constantly is like Valley Girl talk.
Yeah.
And they start making these proclamations, too, about how awesome they are.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you remember one of them says, we're girls. We're the master race.
Yeah, that was... Okay.
Okay, well...
You know, also, men and women are the same race. But that's okay. So, they're super into whatever witchcraft they're doing.
Right. They're trying to summon, like, a love spell or something dumb.
No, they want to... What are they doing? They kind of want to just control everything, I think. They want all the things they want, and they have a book that Kirsten stole from her grandpa.
Oh, great.
But yeah, none of them, not a one, is committed to this whatever ritual they're doing. There's some candles, and somebody cuts themselves. It's Kirsten.
Yes.
An accidental cutting of herself, and then they basically just give up.
Yeah, but this goblet thing with some blood spills over.
Yeah.
And it spills the blood into the woods. And you know what? This is within the first, 2 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
An elf hand comes out of the ground as they're walking away.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be that the blood of Kirsten summoned the elf from the depths of the Colorado Springs winter.
Yes, and I am a huge fan of when movies waste no time.
Nope.
And this was excellent.
No time wasted.
Because you're already seeing an elf hand come out of the ground. So
that's... And it's like full rubber, too.
Oh, yeah. There's this costume.
Oh goodness. Let's get to that in a minute.
So great.
But just imagine, you go to a Halloween store and you see a witch hand, and you put it on your hand, and then you put some dried pine needles over it, and you poke your hand out. That's what you got.
But the witch hand has to be, to where the fingers are too long, so they bend if you try and grab anything.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, Kirsten goes home and is immediately met by her grandfather.
Yeah, because she stole his book and she's trying to return it, but he busts her hard.
He gives her two strong slaps to the face.
Oh, he's back and forth emotionally, isn't he?
Yeah, because then he's like, I'm sorry, did you cut your hand? Let me check and make sure it's okay.
Let's wrap it, smile.
So he slaps her twice in the face and then checks on her to make sure she's okay with her cut on her hand. He has got a German accent, in quotation marks.
And then we cut to elf vision. And we go, it's random when we get elf vision, but basically it's just the elf creeping along, but he sees everything like it has tracers or something.
And it's kind of similar to monkey vision in Monkey Shines.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's the same kind of... camera guy is holding a camera low to the ground and running as though something smaller is running.
Exactly. So,
there you go. That's what we have. So the elf vision, at one point he climbs a tree.
Yeah, I don't. He just came out of the ground. He's got to get his bearings. He's got to look around in the forest, and then he can, formulate a plan. But, he's been underground. He's got to think about what he wants to do next. He's going to climb a tree. He's going to look around.
He's going to. And he's probably going to watch this dysfunctional family, because after Gramp slaps Kirsten a couple times, she goes in and her mom lays into her.
This mom. Worst mom in a movie?
Possibly, but we find out that she's draining her savings account, Kirsten's savings account.
Well, she says, I'm going to empty your savings account as a punishment for sneaking out.
Yes, and you know what Kirsten's response is?
What?
Ah, that's totally outrageous.
Totally outrageous, yes. Like Gem and the Holograms.
Then she goes up to take a shower.
Well, yeah, that's the next logical step in this plan.
We're not a PG-13 podcast. However, we'll let you explore this quote from the brother, because what happens is she's taking a shower and her little brother in a pretty cool Ninja Turtles outfit.
I think it's the exact same one my brother had.
He pokes his head in and watches her bathe, and then she's like, "You little pervert." And then he really is impressed by the size of her breasts and wants to tell all his friends about them.
Yeah, he's proud of having seen them, and he threatens her I'm gonna tell all my buddies I saw your boobs. And he has a filthy mouth, by the way.
I just want this to be one of those things that people get to experience on their own.
Yeah, just watch it. But then they weirdly and very uncomfortably wrestle. She's got a loose bathrobe on is uncomfortably wrestling with her brother on her bed.
And she's nude under the bathrobe.
Yes. It's weird. It's super weird. And then,
it's totally outrageous.
It just transitions into her cuddling her cat Agamemnon, telling this cat it's her only friend, which is weird because we you know, that's rude to Brooke and Amy.
And while she's confessing her friendship to her cat, there's this really, like, romantic piano playing in the background. It's this music is all over the place.
It's bananas.
It's really fantastic.
And then this is when the elf, like, he's been watching through the window mm-hmm. what's happening. So he breaks into the basement, just kind of takes a look around the house for a while. And then for some reason that is still elusive to me, he leans over the brother face to face. And this is where we first get a look at the profile of the elf, which initially it looks scary, right?
This opening shot, I was like, yikes, this is terrifying.
He's got, like, a pointy nose and his mouth is
open and he's, like, looking over him. And then I realized his mouth for the rest of the film will always be open.
It will never closes. Because it's just a mask.
I read an interview, interesting, small community of horror fans. The interview was on Dread Central, but the interview was done by a guy who I follow, and he follows me on Instagram. I was like, oh, weird. But he interviewed the guy who designed the elf, and the guy, I guess, designed a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
This was the one that he personally did. Some of the other ones looked much better. And this one, the day before the shoot, got damaged. The whole mouth got damaged, and it broke the wire that it controls the jaw and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so
they just had to do slack jaw elf.
Well, he thought for sure, and he had to patch the face up last minute too, but he was like, it doesn't matter because they're going to go with all the other ones that we have. And it wasn't until he saw the film that he realized they didn't go with any of the other ones. They went with the broken one that he had made and patched up the night before. So I think that explains why the mouth is open the entire film.
It doesn't... Like, the face has no expression.
No, it never moves. It is seriously like a Halloween mask. Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, that first shot is really
scary. It is scary. And you're like, ooh, this maybe has a little scare to it. And that's it. That's the only scare.
That's the only scare you're going to get this whole film.
So he wakes up, like, breathing face to face with a brother who describes him as a ninja troll. And then Kirsten and her mom come running in and they're like, shut up, you're stupid, go to bed. And that's the end of it. Like, and he does. He goes, he's totally like, does. Good night.
Did you see what Kirsten was wearing?
What?
A Guns N' Roses shirt.
Oh, good gravy.
It was pretty awesome.
Okay. So they just leave him. Nobody cares that he saw a ninja troll. And the next day, Brooke and Amy are talking to Kristen at her work. So she works at this huge department store. She, like, works in the... It's like a restaurant kind of place that is part of a larger department store. And her friends are there listening to her talk about her mom. And they decide at that point, it's a good time to goof on Santa. Oh, their words, not mine.
The actual words are that let's go goof on Santa.
And Kirsten's like, I've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Like, she's been planning for goofing on Santa. And then we kind of, I'm going to condense this section if you don't mind, because we go back and forth.
Yeah.
Between two different scenes. One scene is back at home. Kirsten's mom gets her cat Agamemnon. Puts it in a pillowcase.
Oh yeah.
Drowns the cat in the toilet, which also gross. Her hands are covered in toilet water. Also, don't kill cats ever.
Also, have you ever tried to pick up a crazy cat?
No.
That cat was not moving in that pillowcase in the toilet.
No, it was like a weird machine twitching, very obviously.
If even that. But okay.
So anyway, the mom kills the cat and then buries the cat in the yard. And we don't know why the mom is upset at this cat, why she wants to hurt Kirsten.
I think it was because the night before, she thinks the cat was what scared the boy.
Really?
I guess.
Okay. That's weak. And then...
You're going to call weak spots on this script?
This is weak.
Okay.
And so this is happening in little segments, flashing back and forth with the strange, soft-spoken guy who is, you discovered... Grizzly Adams.
Well, yeah, it's definitely Grizzly Adams. Dan Haggerty. He is like Kurt Russell's older brother.
Older, much more obese, and much more soft-spoken brother.
Yeah. Well, Kurt Russell isn't obese, so he wouldn't be much more obese.
Like, obese.
Yeah.
Yes. And so... He's very large. He's very grizzly. But
he's
in this
Grizzly
movie,
Adams.
He's not Grizzly Adams. In this movie, he comes to the department store to get a job. And they're like, no, we've got no jobs for you. And so then Kirsten is in line to goof on Santa. She's going to goof him. And she goes and sits on his lap and he asks her for oral, like he whispers it in her ear. And then he grabs her and she is offended and gets him fired. And he like steps out to the dressing room, I guess, the Santa dressing room. And this is where the elf who's been lurking and creeping the whole time decides, cool, I'm gonna kill Santa, but not before Santa sniffs a couple lines of Coke.
Which apparently was on set, because in that interview, old Grizzly Adams had quite a bit of Coke on him.
I believe this.
And quite a bit of weed. And, well, he was like really famous for a bunch of biker movies in the 70s,
oh, really?
Too. Yeah, he was hardcore.
Interesting. And then Kirsten goes home and discovers Agamemnon's missing. She's like, Agamemnon, Agamemnon. And her mom hasn't seen her. And then the elf makes his first appearance to Kirsten by presenting her with a corpse that he has dug up of Agamemnon.
Yeah. And we go back to the scene of the slain Santa.
Oh, yes.
This is so great. The cops are walking around. One cop, did you notice right away, walks in and dips his finger through the Coke and just starts putting it in his mouth? It's in the background. It's really funny. But they have made not a chalk outline, but like a white tape outline of the corpse,
yes,
which will surprisingly be like a supporting cast for the rest of the film.
It is. He's an important character, his chalk outline.
We get a backstory of Grizzly Adams getting evicted from his camper.
So, yeah, apparently
so
he's homeless.
Dumb. Yeah, and then let's go to Grandpa, who is German.
Yes.
And immediately suspects that there must be an elf running around. He wastes no time.
How much information has the grandfather gathered?
None.
Okay. He just is just sitting in there in the office and decides.
But apparently he must do this a lot, because Kirsten's mom gets really upset when he starts going on. And she says, you and your damn elves.
I know, like he's bringing it up again.
Like, oh, here comes Grandpa talking about the elves again.
Oh, and then that's when she also tells Gramps that she was the one who killed the cat. And he's pretty much okay with that.
Yeah, he doesn't really care about that.
And then he grabs this shard that is never explained.
Oh, yeah. I forget about the shard.
Never. But apparently it's really important. So he has a shard because he wraps it in velvet. And we're like, ooh, what's the shard?
And it like glows red.
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a shard. And then the next morning, Kirsten and Grizzly Adams commiserate on how life is treating them badly. Like, she's got a crappy mom, he is homeless. And then they also talk about how they want it to snow, only because it comes in at the very end in the most dull way.
And Grizzly, because we know he really needs a job, because we saw this really overdramatic scene of him getting an eviction notice on his Airstream.
It was so long.
It was
why?
So dumb.
And he like sits in front of it, bummed out in the dark.
But he gets offered the new Santa job. And I love it because he gets peed on right away by a kid. And he walks into the dressing room. And this is where he strikes up a conversation.
A buddy film?
It becomes a buddy film between him and the outline of the slain Santa on the ground.
Yeah.
He just starts talking to him as though he's like in the movie.
As though dead Santa knows how he feels.
Murdered Santa as his buddy is hilarious.
And it's good too, because the ground where this outline of dead Santa is, there's like a faint pinkish color to the cement from where he bled out right around the crotch area.
And if that isn't enough, we now get the rest of the plot of the film, which is some Germans enter.
What a turn this is.
The Germans come in to discuss elves.
Obviously.
So, wow.
So, yeah, my notes are just like, German Nazis talking about elves now.
So Kirsten's at work. She drops a bunch of donuts. Did you see that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Picks them back up and puts them on the plate.
No
I thought
problems.
That was pretty funny. I would have totally done that. But we also find out she is a poet.
Oh.
I don't know why we needed that information.
Nope, we don't.
But
it
we
plays
found out.
No role whatsoever.
So Kirsten breaks into the mall with her friends, and some Nazis follow in, and they want to also be in the mall. Do you remember how they broke in?
Through the door.
With the...
By, they use... Okay, so there's... Okay, real quickly, Grizzly Adams is now living in the mall somehow.
That happens so fast.
There's no explanation. He just decides he lives there. And then Kirsten and her pals are going to meet up with boys at the mall. Or it's not the mall. It's like a department store. But the door gets locked. So these German Nazis who are after Kirsten because she is a pure genetic line
mm-hmm.
for these Nazi elves. So they really want to get to her quick. They use one of these boys as a battering ram to knock down the door.
So they
very nonchalant,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they bust open the door with his head, and then a shootout happens between Grizzly and the Nazis, all while the elf watches in the background.
Yeah, what's he even doing? What's this elf doing?
Just observing. Keep in mind...
What motivates the elf?
We still have not seen a second elf.
No, we're only at singular elf.
Still only at one elf.
No more elves.
So the elf jumps out of a Christmas tree, finally.
Mm-hmm.
With a Santa hat on and has a knife
mm-hmm.
and kills one of her friends.
Weirdly, too. Like, why? His killings are super random mm-hmm. and seem to serve no purpose whatsoever.
No, it's like he's a Nazi elf brought back from the underworld.
But he's killing these, like, Aryan race girls. Why?
Oh, that's kind of true. The other friend got killed, shot in the head by the Nazis.
Yeah, the
that
Nazis
kind of
are just like, we got to get to Kirsten, you're in the way.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Grizzly Adams has decided he sees runes. He thinks that the elf is carving runes into the ground near everything he kills, which honestly would take a lot of time because he's like carving it into pure cement. And so Grizzly Adams visits library and starts to really dig in and do the research because he's a former detective. And his whole backstory, it develops over time, but basically we learn he was an alcoholic detective who lost his job and is now homeless and living in the department store and working
He's
as a Santa.
He's living in a cot in the department store uh-huh. right next to the outline of the slain
Talking
Santa from the
Santa.
Night before.
Dead nuts Santa.
Oh, man. And Kirsten keeps calling the elf a troll nonstop.
Yep.
It's so great.
Do you think they intended to call the movie Troll? And then it, like, they discovered after they filmed the entire movie that there was already a troll?
I don't know what the intention of this entire film was.
No, because they also talk about how that when there's no room left in hell, the elves will walk the earth.
Oh, yeah.
So they do say elves sometimes.
That's true. Well, the Nazis definitely keep calling it an elf. It's everybody else that calls it a troll or a goblin.
Yeah, so there's like a full shootout at one point, but it's between the Nazis and Grizzly Adams.
Yes, who smokes the entire film.
Like a chimney.
This is not, it does me not like making an overstatement.
And he even carries a carton of cigarettes with him through the movie.
When he's sitting in that earlier when he's at the coffee shop, there is an actual carton of cigarettes next to him.
He's like, I might need this right now, these 9,000 cigarettes.
So cool. All right, well.
Why is this shootout going on, first of all, at all? Secondly, for so very long.
It does go on a long time.
It does.
But it eventually ends with both of Kirsten's friends dead and mm-hmm. the elf runs off with a Santa hat on. So that's what happens.
Why did he put it on?
Then we go back to Grandpa who's doing a ritual with that red shard.
Yeah, what's he doing?
And Mom and Kirsten start fighting and we find out the bombshell. Okay, so if this film couldn't get any crazier.
Ugh.
This is when it's revealed that she is going on and on about how if Dad was here, if her father was here, everything would be different.
Yeah.
And she's like, your father's downstairs in the basement. And then Kirsten's like, what do you mean? And then she says, your father is your grandfather.
Oh.
Your grandfather is my father. And then we find out that he had Kirsten with his daughter because he needed to pure
genetic line for a Nazi elf ritual.
Because the elf needs this genetic line to come back.
He needs to mate. Elf needs to mate with a lady okay. of a pure genetic line, obviously.
And while this is happening, Grizzly runs over to a doctor's house and breaks into his house.
Also, we should note, now Grizzly Adams has a car.
Yeah, that's true. Where did he get that from?
He's been homeless and needing to live in the mall or the department store when he had a car all along?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. He could have slept in his car.
Now he has a car.
He breaks into this doctor's house and mm-hmm. just starts asking questions because he's like, I need to know about these elves. And the doctor's like, get out of here. I'm about to have dinner with my family. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're going to tell me about the link. And then at one point he says, this is his quote, I want to know about the connection between the elves and Nazis.
Yeah, he made that connection real fast.
This movie is brilliant.
Well, it's because when he was at the library researching, he looked at a book and it had a picture of a Nazi symbol next to the rune that he saw carved.
Right.
Next to...
He was a good detective if he didn't just let the bottle get in the way.
No. He really followed through, at least in two instances.
He did. And this is where we got that huge backstory from the doctor. He gives this massive long dialogue about how the elf must mate with a virgin on Christmas Eve to produce the master race for the Nazis.
Yep. That's the whole purpose of this.
That's the premise of this whole film.
Also amazing.
Man, okay, we go back to the mom who's having a freak out because she's now admitted that she was raped by her father.
And she's like, cool, this is a good time for a weird bath.
She does this whole David Lynch scene where she's smearing the lipstick around her mouth.
Yeah.
And then she gets into the bathtub. And I had a question real quick.
Oh.
Does that mean the brother's inbred too?
I don't know. We don't know who the father of the brother is.
I don't think there is a father. I think it's the grandpa, right?
Maybe. But, I mean, maybe mom hooked up with somebody else at another point.
Okay.
We don't get to know the brother's storyline, Eric.
Although the brother's acting would lead me to believe he was inbred.
Mm, the only
inbred. And he was really into incest also.
Yeah, he was. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
it runs, in, it the runs in the family. Okay. Well, Grizzly gets his... big idea. This is scene. It just flashes back to the most absurd scene of these Nazis chasing him.
Uh-huh.
Because he's left. Now the shootout is still continuing.
Oh, is this the dynamite?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He pulls out a stick of dynamite.
Did he have casually resting in his car?
And he blows up his car. And then he catches up to a Nazi and he just starts punching him in the face over and over.
I mean, why wouldn't
he? And he asks so many questions in a row, rapid fire. Are you a Nazi? What do you know about elves? And he's just punching them between each question.
Oh. And no answers are given.
Oh, gosh, no. Because the Nazi does a cyanide capsule and kills himself.
And that's the end of him. And this is also, it's around this time that the brother asks Kirsten, what's wrong? Are we going to be all right? And her response is, no, Grandpa's a Nazi.
Speaking of which, mom is upstairs in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah. Back to her.
And the elf pushes
a radio
into, it's very an 80s death, super 80s death, into the bathtub and electrocutes her. And then they hear it and they run upstairs. Grizzly's now there, by the way. He got there real quick.
Somehow.
He runs up and sees her in the bathtub. And I love when the brother says, is everything okay? And then Kirsten's like, is mom okay? And he goes, she's going to be okay. She's going to be all right. And then they walk off. But he just saw her like shard
corpse. She's full dead.
In the bathtub.
No question dead. That she's dead.
That was a questionable response.
But maybe he just didn't want to deal with the emotional needs of a child. It's a lot.
The Nazi battle continues. It keeps going with Grizzly. And then Gramps is eventually killed.
Yes.
So funny.
Yeah, so he grabs his crystal, but the Nazis come in and kill him.
Also, this whole scene has gone on for like 20 minutes. And
so long.
There's no elf to be seen anywhere in the movie called Elves.
No.
So
he his only purpose is to throw the radio in the bathtub.
Yes. Then the Nazis attack Kirsten as she's in the forest running around.
Yeah, with her brother.
And it looks like it's not going to go well for her, but guess who comes to her rescue?
A gun-toting elf.
The elf appears with a gun.
And he's like, you have to imagine him. He's like slightly cross-eyed. And his mouth is just hanging open.
It's totally what
and
happened.
And he looks like he's been sprayed with water or oil.
It looks like if you took and built, if you got a Halloween mask of a creature with its mouth permanently open and kind of cross-eyed, you sprayed it in some water so it was kind of slick, and then you gave it a body that can't move, and then you put sticks on the back, and then you pretend to make it walk by just walking the stick that's attached to its back.
Yeah, so it kind of like hops.
But then they like positioned a gun into its rubber hand and have it shoot.
I know, it's like they just stuck rubber through. Oh,
this so good. The elf creature costume is just beyond stupid.
It's so bad. It had one moment of glory in that scene with a brother.
Yeah, but after it shoots the Nazi, it comes up to her and decides now's the time to mate.
Let's have this genetic line go.
So the rubber hand starts moving its way up her thigh. So funny. And then Kirsten comes up with this great idea because in the process, we should mention, Grizzly Adams has been, like, mortally shot by one of the Nazis, and the brother runs through the forest to go get that red shard that Grandpa was doing magic
that
with.
That dumb shard that we don't understand.
And
ever.
Brings it back to her, and she gets this idea not to stab the elf with the shard.
But wait, is this where the elf decides also to just randomly eat a cockroach?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
For no reason.
I don't know what that reason was.
Why? He's just like, pause this rape. I'm going to eat a cockroach.
He does eat a cockroach. And then he needs a little protein before go time.
Oh, maybe.
And so the brother brings her the blood shard thing, which you would think in any other movie ever made, she would use it to stab the creature.
Yes.
Instead, she gets this bright idea to crawl on her hands and knees, and the elf crawls beside her.
Yeah.
To the hole that he came out of when her blood dripped onto the ground.
Uh-huh.
And she throws the shard in and it makes an explosion. And that is what destroys him.
Yes. Also, I should say, like, was it even clear that he had mated with her?
No, definitely
because
not.
Because he just kind of, like, made a creepy face. I mean, and by made a creepy face, I mean
face
he looked cross-eyed and slack-jawed as he kind of moved back and forth near her. But it wasn't clear that was happening
I did not
on
get
any
that.
Level.
I did not pick that up at all. But
then the elf dies.
The elf dies, and she wakes up in the snow in the forest.
And this is where it ties back to how she and Grizzly Adams had been talking about how they just wanted it to snow.
Yeah, and she luckily has her pervert brother next to her.
Yeah.
While this piano ballad starts playing again. And when I say piano ballad, it is.
You mean it.
Is it actually a piano ballad?
You mean it.
And then the credits roll just goes to credits, total silence in the credits, except for a heartbeat.
Yep.
And boom. The scene of a fetus.
But it's an elf fetus. Half human, half elf. Kirsten's been impregnated.
And we are going to get the master race slash antichrist.
So do you think that, I mean, this is the second elf, so there are two elves now.
No, it's not an elf, because the doctor says it's not an elf, it's not a human, it is this new species.
Oh, right.
So, actually, by the end of the film, there was one elf.
So, elf and a half.
No, just elf.
Elf and a half, because it's half elf, half human.
Right, but that's not elves. Just so you know.
Okay.
You know what's on the back of the VHS?
What?
Two elves.
Oh, right. But it's just two shots of the same slack-jawed elf.
It's true. So that's elves. That's your first...
Are you... Is it elves?
Is it? That's the first Christmas episode for the month, and...
Merry Christmas. I'm getting nervous. Incest and Nazis and elves.
I'm nervous that we're not going to be able to match it.
It's... You set the bar high.
Way too high with this one.
I don't know.
This is going to go into...
We're going to need to pole vault into our next movie.
This is officially going into the Laser Graves canon of amazing films.
Honestly, do yourself a favor. Watch this movie. This is it is so 100% ridiculous.
Approved. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a brilliant film.
Cinematic masterpiece. This is why film was made.
This is true art. Well, I loved it. You loved it.
Yep. No doubts.
There you go.
110%. I'm
left kind of speechless. I guess you could say I'm just left with my mouth permanently open.
And I'm semi-cross-eyed.
Good. Well, if you like what you heard, you can go find us on wherever you get your podcasts, but you can go on to iTunes and rate and review.
Please do that. It really helps us.
But we're at Laser Graves. We're also on Instagram at Laser Graves, and you can follow our personal sites. I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And we don't know what we're bringing you next week, but we've got a huge list of films, and they all look extremely promising.
Very excited.
So come back next week and see what it's going to be all about, because we're counting down till Christmas.
And we're also working on some fun stuff for the new year, including books and events.
Yes, we've got a bunch of stuff planned, so stick with us. All right, well, stay warm, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.